Welcome to another episode of the Access Baseball Podcast, covering all the bases of high school and college baseball. And now here's your host, Vinny Massana.
Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny Massana. We're filming live once again tonight from Pro Game Athletics in Bayshore, New York, joined by another special guest. This time we have Chris Leone. He's a Hop Hog senior catcher and he's committed to Stony Brook. Also, a special shout out to Ken Courtright, State Farm Agency, for sponsoring this podcast series. This is the ninth week. Next week is going to be our next one, so make sure to stay tuned. This is going to be posted on YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes tomorrow. So, Chris plays for Team Beast, and let's start with that. I mean, you guys had a great summer this year playing for Coach Pete Critico. So, talk about how you enjoyed your time with playing with Beast.
I've known Pete since I was like 12 years old. He's a really good guy. I knew that he was going to be a great coach for me. He taught me a lot, but he's not an overbearing guy, so I thought it was a really good mix. And we just had some studs on the squad. Won a lot of games, and it was a good time with them, for sure.
Who were some of the teammates that you've had that you really clicked with, that you know, that you have fond memories of?
Well, I really got along with everyone. There were some teammates going way back to when I was 12 years old, Chris Segretti, Ryan Steele, Kyle Calalori, and then some new guys that I met this year that were absolute studs, Tyler Cox, Matt Torres, Sean Keys, and I've known Joe Patain for a while too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the Huntington guys. I think they kind of fall under the radar. I did a ranking a couple weeks ago, probably a month ago now, on the top underrated players on Long Island. I put Chris Segretti. Now tell our audience a little bit about those Huntington guys. I know they have a couple good players. Kyle Lori, you mentioned as well. So what do they bring to the table?
Well, they're definitely underrated in my opinion. They're really solid baseball players all around. They hit, they play the field, they can pitch if you need them to. And they're just always locked in. They're never somewhere else.
Yeah, mentally. I hear you. So now you're committed to Stony Brook. Can you tell our audience a little bit about how that came to be and why you chose Stony Brook?
Well, my sophomore year, beginning of the school season, there was one of the Stony Brook guys there. And I got kind of nervous, didn't play very well. But I guess they saw something in me, so they came back, watched a couple more games, showed some interest, and from there we just clicked.
Mm-hmm. Was there some other schools along the way that you were deciding between, or you kind of had your heart set on that all along?
There was a couple different looks, but as soon as I heard Stony Brook was interested in me, it was automatic.
Mm-hmm. And now you're part of this, COVID age athlete where you had to deal with a lot of different stuff on your plate. It's hard enough to, you know, compartmentalize balancing school, work, and baseball, and now you have to worry about, you know, all the dead period. So has that affected some of your teammates, do you think, just, you know, managing all these different obstacles?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that a lot of players were not given the recognition that they deserved, because coaches weren't allowed to come out and watch games and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also had kind of like a positive light for some people. And it was just like a weird situation overall, because no one really expected to be recruited off like videos and mm-hmm. like over the phone. But some people it turned out well, some not.
Yeah, they just had to capitalize on the opportunities that they did have. So just switching gears, talking about Hop Hog, I don't want to overlook them. Always a good program, Coach Josh Gudis. He's gets you guys to the playoffs every year. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Now you guys are fortunate to have a good roster, but I feel like he's done a lot without a loaded roster as well. So just from your experience now, you're going into your fourth year on varsity. You have a lot of time with him. What is it about him that has allowed his players to get the most out of themselves?
Well, first off, he's a guy that really cares about his players on and off the field. He's such a great guy. And he starts the recruiting process pretty early. Like, he'll have camps for like third to seventh grade. Mm-hmm. So he's learning all these players' strong suits like before they even think about playing at the varsity level.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a great job with that, knowing everybody in the town. And then as a team, he just picks out our strong suits and we play to that. Mm-hmm. So
now when you're like in that age group, you know, middle school, it's important that the baseball team is identifying who the athletes are at that age and trying to get them to play baseball as opposed to lacrosse, because if you're in a smaller community, you can't really afford to lose those athletes. So is that something that you thought about at that age, or was baseball always number one on your mind?
Baseball was always my number one sport. At a very young age, my parents made me decide for one sport that I was really going to go after, and I chose baseball. And the first time I even played another sport was 7th grade volleyball. That was the first time I ever tried out for another sport, so I was always really locked in on baseball.
Mm-hmm. What's your thought on like being a multi-sport athlete? Because you hear a lot of talk about that. I mean, you mentioned volleyball, but I mean, do you think that's important for younger athletes just to kind of distinguish themselves and develop those other muscles that maybe they don't use so much in baseball?
Yeah, for sure. So in my case, I played baseball, basketball up until last year, and I play volleyball. And I think that it makes you just an overall better athlete. And in my case, I love in like the off season being able to play volleyball. Like, I don't play fall baseball. I really enjoy like having a break from it and playing something else. I think it just like helps my mental state with the sport.
Yeah, and also not putting so much wear and tear on your body as a catcher. I just wanted to talk about that because I haven't had too many catchers on the podcast. I mean, is that something that you kind of got stuck back there when you were younger and just realized that you liked it? I mean, what was it that drew you to that
position? Yeah, it was like everybody tried out for a position, and everybody tried out different positions. And I just fell in love with it as soon as I was back there. I loved the first day catching. I asked my parents, I was like, can I get catcher's gear? Like, I really want it. And they were like, no, you don't need it. You'll just keep borrowing people's. And I was like, no, like, I really love it. So I just fell in love with it the second that I put the gear on.
Mm-hmm. And how important is it to develop all the aspects of catching? I feel like it's come a long way. Years ago, it was just if you hit the ball really hard, you were considered, a pro, it was a bonus if you could bring anything to the table offensively.
Yeah.
Because the focus was always defensively for a catcher. But I think it's kind of come full circle now where it's like you're looking for a player that can do it all back there. You're not just throwing back the heaviest player. It's like you mentioned, you got to be athletic, pitch framing. So how important is it to develop all aspects of your game as a catcher?
Honestly, it's everything, because nobody wants to throw to a catcher that's not receiving the ball well, stealing strikes for his pitcher. Nobody wants to throw to a catcher that can't block the baseball. You know, you don't want everything flying around on a wild pitch. Pretty much everything. You got to be solid back there. People want to throw to you, and then you have better chemistry with your pitcher.
Now, on the downside of that, though, if you're working on everything, it does make sense that you would probably fall into slumps and let it affect certain aspects of your game. So if you're let's say you're going through a slump offensively, you know, does it kind of wear on you a little bit because now you're worrying about two different things as opposed to, let's say, a first baseman's going through a slump? They're not really putting too much effort into their defensive work. Yeah. They're worrying about getting the bat going.
Yeah. I definitely say being like a catcher is somewhat like being a pitcher, because you're really focusing on that defense, like, over everything, because you and the pitcher, it's pretty much the whole game right there. So you got to be locked in back there. So I definitely think that plays a role with, like, with your offensive performance. But yeah, you hit, you're in the lineup. So you got to be able to do both.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think catchers struggle with. They kind of bring out their offensive struggles maybe back there. Next thing you know, you're clanking one off the glove and you're giving out extra bases. Oh, so it's something that you got to stay on top of. Yeah. And on the other aspect of catching is developing a rapport with pitchers. I spoke with a lot of pitchers on this podcast just talking about that importance of chemistry. But it's easier said than done. Every year you're getting a new set of pitchers. Maybe not all of them is easy to catch. So are there ever times where you do struggle to develop a rapport or just to get on the same page with calling pitches with guys?
Yeah. Honestly, I try to build like a relationship, say like with a new pitcher that I like just met. Say I go to a new team and I meet a new guy. I try to build a relationship outside of the like baseball, just like mess around with them, like trying to get closer with them.
Yeah.
And I think that builds like a stronger connection because they trust you. So they won't be like calling you off as much and like disagreeing. So as soon as you have a better relationship off the field, I think it translates to the game.
Gotcha. Understand. And then just catching bullpens as well, too. You want to be familiar with your pitchers. Are there any types of pitchers, not like individual guys, the single out, but just types of pitchers that are tougher to catch, whether it be guys that have a heavy ball or throw a lot of breaking balls or anything like that?
I think it's the guys that are a little wild on the mound, mm-hmm. even like mentally a little wild. They're not always there. They're like a sort of a head case.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of they're unpredictable. Going. You don't know exactly what they're going to throw. Mm-hmm. They're just unpredictable.
Yeah, whereas pitchers that are around the strike zone, you kind of know, even if it's going to be a breaking ball, where mm-hmm. you know it's going to where it's probably going to end up. So, now let's talk about going back to Hop Hog a little bit, the 2021 team. I didn't get a chance to see them last year, obviously, so I don't really know outside of you what the talent is like. So, can mm-hmm. you give us a little going around the diamond, or maybe what the strength of the team is?
I definitely think there's some important parts of the team this year. I think that Alex O, in center field, he's the definition of hop-hog baseball. He's a scrappy baseball player. He plays small ball, mm-hmm. but he's extremely competitive, and he's one of the best ones out there. So I think that he's definitely a big part of it. I think Anthony Russo is bringing a big bat into the lineup this year. Mm-hmm. In that school ball tournament, he was absolutely raking.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Neglias in the rotation, they're going to be absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. They live in the strike zone. They got good stuff. So there's going to be mm-hmm. some important parts of the team this year, for sure.
Yeah, and we know there's a step behind the plate with you. And it's kind of funny. Hop Hog has had a pretty strong lineage of catchers over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, PJ Contreras, going back to him, Matt Rice, Stetter. It just seems like, for whatever reason, every year. I mean, what do you attribute that to? Do you think that those guys give back to the program and they spend a lot of time around, like, the clinics, and they're, you know, maybe they're motivating younger guys?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I met PJ when I was in 7th or 8th grade, and I think he was a senior or just graduated. He was working the clinics just like we are now. And I'm just trying to follow the legacy of great catchers coming out of Hop Hog.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy for a small school, and it's just like a very specific thing. You guys, Hop Hog has great catchers for whatever reason. So, actually, you mentioned that town tournament, the Town of Brookhaven tournament last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, that was great. It was a perfect thing that was needed at that time. I mean, nobody thought there was going to be baseball that early in the year. Yeah. And then here we go with a 40-team tournament. I mean, looking back on it now, how cool was that just to get that one little, that last opportunity to play with the seniors last year?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome because a bunch of those seniors were, like, really, really good friends of mine. And after they canceled the season, we thought we were never going to be able to play again. And that was just heartbreaking that we didn't even get to have another practice or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that tournament was great. It really saved, the season, I would say.
Yeah, I think hats off to Town of Brookhaven for pulling that off. Sure. That was a lot of fun. So what do you want to work on this offseason? You know, now that you have the college commitment out of the way, baseball is still right around the corner. So you have a finite amount of time where you could kind of hone in on what your goals are. Have you identified anything you'd like to work on?
So I've been really focusing on staying healthy, first off, because I was having a little arm injuries, like, end of sophomore year, junior year. I wasn't all there in my elbow. So I'm back healthy now, trying to stay healthy, doing everything I can, trying to learn as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, just working on power. I'm trying to get a lot stronger, a lot bigger, start driving the baseball. And, just become stronger.
Are you just working out in the gym, or are you working with any instructors?
So, yeah, I'm working out at the gym, and then I'll pop into, Belding, mm-hmm. Adam Belding. Yeah, he's great. He's taught me a lot, and I can't wait to go back to him. I haven't been there in a couple months, but mm-hmm. definitely going back there.
Yeah, popular spot for the Hop Hog guys, I know for sure.
Yeah,
Nick Fant,
for sure.
You guys are there.
Yeah, it's right in the center of Hop Hogs.
Yep, right off the expressway. And on a personal note, do you have any goals that you'd like to set for next year?
I just want to have a successful season, and hopefully we can make our way to the county finals.
Yeah.
Win or lose, I just want to get there.
You're just a team guy. I love it.
Hell yeah.
So before I let you go, a couple more rapid-fire questions here. Favorite pregame meal?
Pregame meal. I love a Metrics bar.
Big muscle guy.
Yeah.
Any superstitions?
I mean, like anybody else, I don't step on the lines before the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Not like lefty pitchers.
Nah.
We're more of the superstitious type. How about this? If you had one teammate that you could get quarantined with, who would it be?
One teammate. I'd have to give that one to Brandon Oswald.
Okay. How about favorite musical artist?
I'm a big Roddy Ricch guy.
All right. Yep. Favorite app on your phone?
It's got to be Snapchat, most used one.
Mm-hmm. How about favorite baseball player?
I'd say Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Gritty guy.
How about favorite catcher?
Favorite catcher? Wilson Contreras.
Okay. And what was the best baseball trip that you've been a part of?
Probably when I was 12 years old and went to Ripken. Mm-hmm. And you stayed on that, like, hotel on the field. That was pretty cool. I'll never forget that for sure.
Absolutely. And any prediction, who is going to sign JT Realmuto?
I don't know.
No team you want to throw out there?
I have no idea.
I would say the Mets, I think, are the favorites right now just because of the financial situation. But who's your baseball? Who's your favorite team?
I am a Mets guy, but...
You didn't want to go out on a limb and say it? You don't want to jinx it. All right. So, Chris, thank you very much for the time. Thank you to Pro Game for sponsoring and for hosting our podcast again, once again this week. Thank you to Ken Courtright, State Farm Agency. And next week's the last one, so tune in to our announcement of who's going to be the final guest.
You've been listening to the Access Baseball Podcast with your host, Vinny Massana. Tune in to the next episode. Until then, visit accessbaseball.com.